always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Obviously, Luca's not going to take the full, you know, blame slash credit for it. But it was very clear that Luca was involved this last summer, right? DeAndre Ayton, Marcus Smart, both guys said that, hey, Luca was very involved in recruiting me and they appreciated it. I'm expecting similar things this summer. And I think what Luca's wishes are important. That's just how the league works. That's how the league operates. Your superstar player has say. Now, that doesn't mean they should be pulling every string or, you know, the GM shouldn't do their job, but I think Luke is going to have a lot of say in this too, of what he needs, what he wants, the type of big man he wants, the type of screener, right? The type of shooting I'm sure he wants. I'm sure he's watching this and thinking, hey, this is kind of what I need. I need defensive players around, et cetera. Whatever those conversations are, I'm sure it's going to be in there. So it'll be interesting to see. Funny enough, you're talking about, you know, kind of these golden pair of shoes. Jason Kidd has 4 years left on his deal and got let go by the Dallas Mavericks, which I believe was part of Masai's agreement. Was like, hey, I'm getting rid of these two.
Fire him, right?
Right, as fast as humanly possible. They're like, can you wait after the draft lottery? Like,
like they asked him about, like,
oh yeah. It wasn't about the Luka trade. It wasn't.
Well, no, not even about that. But like, they asked Masai Ujiri about like Jason Kidd's future. He's like, we'll get there. By the way, my prediction, Jason Kidd will coach the Portland Trailblazers next year.
Because Dundon can
pay him as little as he wants, and Kidd's making $10 million a year anyway.
Oh, that's true.
Really quickly, you mentioned Bill Duffy. Something caught my eye this today, and we won't spend a lot of time on this, but I did think it was worth kind of charting in the back of everybody's minds. Because we know how quickly some of this stuff can happen. The Minnesota Timberwolves have kind of sort of topped out with their core, right? Like, they are probably at best a Western Conference team. They are not on the tier of San Antonio or OKC, and yet they are expensive and they don't have a whole bunch to work with. I actually think they're a real threat to trade for Giannis for this reason. But one of the people who covers Minnesota, and I apologize for forgetting who it was. I think it's Britt Robson. But
Dana.
No, but he was saying how the Wolves are already very aware of the fact that Anthony Edwards at any time could get frustrated enough by topping out at the Western Conference Finals to ask out for a trade. They also said that he could go through his representation to ask for said trade without making a big deal out of it, right? You know who his representation is?
Is he Bill Duffy's? Oh, wow.
He is Bill Duffy, who you guys know represents Luka Doncic, represents DeAndre Ayton, represents Jackson Hayes, like somebody who the Lakers have done a lot of work with to make a good relationship with. And I'm not obviously saying that, like, you know, this is how this is definitely going to play out, but in this league and with the way that this league works and operates, I do think it is worth putting a pin in that rumor, that speculation, and keeping an eye on it over the next couple of years.
You're saying with Anthony Edwards, or kind of that team
with Anthony Edwards?
Okay. Oh, well, okay. Yeah, that I think they're good. Anthony Edwards is Minnesota. I mean, I can't even picture
it. Doesn't
him.
Matter if he asks for a trade, he asks for a trade.
He does. Yeah, that does. I still think we are years away from that. But yeah, you can monitor that. And look, I'm sure he wants to win. Seems like a really competitive dude. What's interesting to me about that is the other players on the roster, right? Because I'm sure Anthony Edwards also has pull on who stays on Minnesota, right? Oh, so totally. They have a lot of interesting guys. Not saying the Lakers will go get these guys, but I think Gobert is a very interesting player where his value is kind of
Naz Reid.
Yeah, Naz Reid, another one. They're a very rock, paper, scissors type of team where like what they do destroys Denver, but you'll never beat San Antonio with the way they play, right? It's like this really strange, they've calmed Jokic down, but everything else is like they just look like a mess. Yeah. But against Denver, they look like world beaters. It's the most fascinating thing, but I mean they're a really good team. I don't like, and they made really good moves. I love the IO addition for them. Dante DiVincenzo's Achilles tear I thought really hurt them in that series. Yeah, and they played the Spurs tough. I mean they took that to six games. Now Wemby went absurd to close that series, but yeah, I don't know where they go. They're a second apron type of team, the consequence team, where they already made one move because of it, right? They swapped Randall and Towns. They're probably gonna have to do something else to do that again, but yeah, it'd be a lot of West teams,
especially if they want to pay Dosunmu, who's an unrestricted free agent this year.
A lot of teams gotta face the mirror this summer.
I'm not, by the way, like T Kubler in here saying, Ant is going anywhere. That was some BS opinion. That was from the reporter. It wasn't written, it wasn't like specifically reported it. He was just saying that it's something that
he was monitoring.
Minnesota is already cognizant of that. Like they are already worried that eventually if he gets sick enough of this stuff, he could ask for a trade. And I'm saying from the Lakers standpoint, when you already have the relationship that they have right now and are building with Bill Duffy, that another of his superstar clients asking for a trade and you being the Lakers, I just think it's something that we should keep an eye on.
Such
I'm
a
not
Laker
reporting
thing.
Anything, and I'm just I'm not saying it. I'm saying it.
Like you just got Luka 2 years ago, and you're already got googling eyes for Anthony Edwards. Like,
why not both? All right, let's go ahead and dive on into the super comments here.
2034, baby.
For most important sound on the show. First, super comment. Just make sure to scroll up to the top. Make sure I didn't miss any. All right. So the first one that we got here, I think we have a couple. Yeah, we have two. So both from Justin Tyndall, 4737, who writes, Pelinka ain't the worst GM in the sport. The Cavs traded for playoff Harden. Raj, what are we going to do with like James Harden's career at the end of it? His numbers are undeniable. He is one of the most effective offensive weapons that the league has ever seen.
Yeah.
That said, the head coach of the other team in that game was like, yeah, James Harden dribbles himself out of the game because he spends so much time on the ball. He gets tired. And on top of it, we can take advantage of him defensively, and we watched Jalen Brunson mercilessly target James Harden towards the end of the thing. Like, I don't know what we do there, but I know one thing I wouldn't do ever is trade for James Harden if my hope is to advance further in the playoffs.
So I want to make this clear. I'm not like a James Harden stan or anything like that, but to give him some grace here, he's 36 years old. And if you, it's not how the world works, not how time works. But if you stop time at the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left, the Knicks are up 22. Oh, no, excuse me. The Cavs are up 22 in game one, right? I think 6 minutes or 7 minutes left, whatever. That game is won. That is done.
It's over.
Like the amount of stuff you need to go wrong to lose that game is insane. And even with Harden's playoffs.
Stu Lance always says, they can technically win this thing, but they have to play perfect.
Right. And so even with Harden's playoff struggles, and it's been there, right? I think he's won for his last 14 from three. But what the Cavs need from him is someone to eat volume possessions from Donovan Mitchell, right? Like that's his job. Like even if he's not shooting well, he can play make, he can eat possessions, he can run high ball screens and be like, hey, we're going to run efficient offense like every single time when I have the ball. Now, 5-6 minutes left. I'm sorry. That's Donovan Mitchell time. Like, This is why you are Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. You're 29 years old. You're in your prime. You're going against another guy you should be better than. Like, you should be. You and Jalen Brunson should not have tears separating from you. And Brunson looked at the clock and went, oh, I can do whatever I want. Like, we're down 22. What's there to lose? I can. And
yeah.
Kenny Atkinson didn't call a single timeout. He allowed James Harden to be put on the fryer every possession. And if I'm James Harden, I'm like, I cannot guard this guy when I was 26. I am 36. I cannot guard James Harden. I cannot guard Jalen Brunson one-on-one. What are we doing? And every time, and Brunson hit some tough shots, like, technically, but we know, like, we both hooped. Like, once you start getting a rhythm, like, there's nothing you can do. And they let Brunson absolutely just heat up and heat up and heat up and heat up. Yeah. All of a sudden, his arm's on fire, right? It's just like whatever he throws at the rim is going in. And like, I understand it's fun to blame James Harden. Like, he's you know, been the end of the joke for a long time in his career. But to me, that game is Donovan Mitchell. Like, where are you at? Like, you have to create for it. You should not let him. You should not. The game should not be decided with James Harden, Mobley pick and roll, pick and pop, where like Mobley hits, you know, is taking the final three. I disagree with the whole assessment of it. Kenny Atkinson's quotes after the game didn't make me feel much better. Where he's like, I like to hold my timeouts. 4 minutes left. Like, you had two left. You got to call one to end the run. But in any case, yeah, Harden wasn't great in that game. He's had a tough last few games. But to me, his job, like, he did what they're asking him there. They want him to be better than that for sure. But to me, that's Donovan Mitchell time. Like, you're the superstar here. I'm supposed to help you. You don't play off of me. Like, this is your time. So that was my thought on.
Well, the problem there is that like neither of those guys are particularly good off of the ball. Like
Mitchell,
Donovan,
used to be.
Donovan. Well, but yeah. Neither of those guys are particularly good off of the ball. Like I think that is kind of Cleveland's fatal flaw in the design of their team. And also, it doesn't really help that like those guys can't quite compound each other's strengths, right? You can't run pick and roll with James Harden and Donovan Mitchell, and it's your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn, and then you know if one guy isn't coming to get the ball, then it's my turn, my turn, my turn, my turn, or in Donovan Mitchell's case, he's looking at Harden's like your turn, your turn, your turn, your turn. And
how about this? Call a timeout and call. Let's run a play. Let's design something. Let's not let my team.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying though that like, it's a bigger problem than just it. But same time, the common denominator is just really difficult to ignore with James Harden. You know, it's always his teams that have all of like it's like Doc Rivers who's like, oh, that just means I've had 3-1 leads all this time. It's like, okay, but you've blown them,
right
yeah. like actually James Harden as player Doc Rivers, or like, you know, I think there's a comp there. I guess Doc did win a championship, but Justin Tindall what
don't bring up that championship.
I thought you were like, that. That's a fake championship. No.
Not fake.
Let's go.
Right. I wasn't feeling that way, but
throwing some lighter fluid on this episode right at the very end. Andrew Bynum was hurt. Justin Tindall also writes, I'm just saying, if Celtics fans get to tell me that like they miss Kendrick Perkins the next year, I'm going to fucking bring up Andrew Bynum and Trevor Ariza, okay?
We started Vladimir Radmanovic. I just want to say every game of that series.
Luke Walton was probably the best defender on Paul Pierce in that series. Luke Walton.
That Luke stray was unnecessary. There was no need. Or actually, I don't know. Was that a compliment?
No, I've watched him coach. He can get a few more strays. All right, since the Cavs made the conference finals, they want the playoffs to be 1-16, not the conference finals. If they change the lottery playoff, so basically Justin is asking, since they are making these tweaks to the lottery, should there also be tweaks made to the playoffs? I I'm not disagreeing that there should be tweaks made to the playoffs, but the same problem that you run into when like all of what the league is trying to do with the lottery, it's always going to be a half measure because half of the league wants to be able to tank and still be profitable. And when we talk about like, should the playoff seedings be 1 through 16 and not take into account conferences? Yes, that absolutely should be the case. But you have these cheap ass owners in the East who can continue to make the playoffs and make that playoff revenue. And they are never, ever, 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 ever voting against, or voting for, I guess, rethinking those playoffs, even if it's for the betterment of the league and might make for a bigger pie overall, their slice of the pie is going to remain at a size that they are more comfortable with, so long as the conference seating remains.
I remember tanking is such a kind of overstated issue with the league. I've said that for a while. I remember the Kamenetsky brothers used to make this point all the time, especially with the Lakers, but league-wide, that teams don't really give their fans enough credit, like, of understanding, right? Like, they're like, oh, if they lose, we're going to lose our fans. And it's like, no, it's very clear, and I think fans have understood this formula. Spurs, Thunder, all have benefited from this, that, yes, you tank.
The Lakers tanked.
Like, sure, that's what I'm saying. So this is a natural progression of the league. Teams go through these phases where, hey, our stars aged out. It is time to get younger. And the only reasonable path towards that is to make our, not, you know, lose on purpose, but like, let's invest and look at young players. Let's, you know, let's kind of put winning as the end all to the side for a little bit and try to get younger in the draft. I just never felt like that was some huge issue that you had to solve. Now there's teams that are just perpetually in this case with the Kings and, you know, and things like that. But even with them, like they drafted De'Aaron Fox and had their best season in forever. And then they made an awful trade of giving Tyrese Haliburton away for DeMontis Sabonis. It's like, that's what messed them up. Not right. Tanking. It was trading away their young talent before they blossomed into what they could have right. been. Imagine Haliburton and Fox together as, you know, as a guard pairing. So
it was already pretty fun.
That's what I mean. Like they were a good yeah. fun team. And then they traded away, you know, but in any case, that's just one example. It's just all these teams, right? And like, look, the Hawks had an awful number one pick in Zachary Richesse. It's just the gap between him and Wemby.
They got the number one pick in an awful draft. Like it wasn't like Richesse was some terrible pick. It was just like
there's no superstar
incredible in that. Prospect. You
right.
know? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But in any case, like I just didn't see that as a big issue. The 1 through 16 thing is very interesting. I wonder how the travel would work. I think that's the main. Like that's the hurdle.
Excuse against it, but really the reason it would never change is because like the Atlanta Hawks want to be able to make the playoffs every year with 43 wins. Now I was going to say about the tanking thing as far as the Lakers go, the Lakers tanked and their tanking successfully led to that young core that they were able to eventually trade for Anthony Davis and yeah. win a championship as a result of it. Where I think Rob Pelinka specifically has a point in saying that they cannot tank is he got his job because the Lakers tanked. Like Jeannie Buss used the Lakers, like Jim Buss tanking and Mitch Kupchak tanking and leaning into the draft as a means to basically say that they were hurting the brand of the Lakers and the reputation of the Lakers and that like losing on purpose was not like the Laker way. And that was some of like the explanation for the eventual takeover there. So for like Rob, like he can't say that tanking is okay, seeing as that's how he got his job. But one thing I am kind of curious about is whenever Mark Walter fully takes over, whether it be by way of hiring somebody for Rob's job, you know, whether it be Rob retiring, whatever it is, whenever it is fully, or even if it is Rob, like with Mark Walter in charge. I do kind of wonder if with different ownership and with that different leadership, if eventually, now it's different now because the tanking rules are going to be different. But I do wonder if there would be more leeway to tank with Mark Walter in place than with Jeannie Buss in place, because tanking was part of the reason, again, that she used to take over in the first place.
It was, but I mean, I think also, like, there were some bad moves made, like Lou Aldang plus Mozgov contracts, right? Those were those were in light of trying to win. Like that's the mistake. I think they backed kind of into some of that tanking. And I also think, like, Rob can't say it because he's had LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You can't, there's no way you could outwardly do that. And then you got Luka Doncic. So there is just no world where the Lakers, you have a prime superstar in house that there's just no way you can lose to an extent. And you shouldn't, right? Unless injuries come. The Spurs were kind of in this position, but they, you know, Wemby had the blood clot issue and that led to Dylan Harper. That wasn't like a direct, they were trying to tank, but it was definitely like, hey, Wemby's out. All right, we're going to kind of.
The Spurs gave him like a coagulant. Like they were like, hey.
I think Wemby's too competitive of a dude to just sit out.
I'm kidding.
but in any case, yeah, so I think that's kind of why they can't. But yeah, I do think, like, again, I think fans would, like, they understand the situation. It's just they don't want to be in a 10-year, like, tank job. Like, it should be, all right, 2 to 3 years or 1 to 2 years, maybe we lose, and then we build our structure from there. It should not be a 7-8 plan, Wizards, Kings, Nets. Yeah. It should not be that long. You gotta stick to something.
Well, I think actually the teams that the league actually has a real problem with is actually like the Jazz, right?
Okay,
where
yeah.
they have talent on their roster and they tell their talent that they aren't playing in the fourth quarter. And you know, you have enough talent to win. Maybe they aren't like a playoff team, or maybe they aren't like a, you know, obviously like a 50-win team or whatever, but rather than be like a 42-win team by way of coaching and by way of organizational tanking, they're telling their guys, hey, Nurkic, go ahead and get your nose job or whatever it was that they had him do. And you're going to miss the final couple, you know, 20 games of the season. So with all of those shenanigans, a 42, 43 win team becomes, and that's where the natural progression would be, that like Utah would top out at whatever team that they would top out at. Now, next year, they're going to be a really good team, I would say.
Should be.
And so, like, rather than be a 42, 43 win team that becomes a 47-ish win team that becomes a 50-ish win team, and we see where they go from there, the Jazz are like, nope, we're going to skip that 42-ish win team phase. We're going to stay in like the low 30s if possible, and we're going to jump from the low 30s up to the 50s the following year. And they finally invested in the roster. They traded for Jaren Jackson Jr. They kept Lauri Markkanen, and we'll see what kind of paycheck Walker Kessler gets. Yeah. And you know, I think they're going to be pretty good next year. And like they're the reason, or one of the reasons, that Adam Silver was like, nope, no, we're enough of that. Like, you guys cannot be losing games on purpose.
Yeah, they're the face of, hey, like, we can't do that anymore. You got to play your guys. And if I'm a fan, that would annoy me. Like, let me see what this team is. Like, this is what the start of the season, you know, they're pesky, they fight, we have a really good coach, but now I gotta kick another season down the line. Like, I have Keontae George, you drafted in the not high lottery, but you drafted some high picks
in the lottery. Played,
yeah, you drafted in the lottery. Let's see what this is. You got your star, you paid him, Lauri Markkanen, and again, you kind of kick this can. That would be annoying to me. But again, changing rules because of one or two teams, I'm not a fan of that. Like, the system is not perfect, but it's worked for the last X amount of years. Again, it's created different type of teams, dynasties, etc. This is the system that we've all agreed to, and I just don't like changing it for Charlotte Hornets, Jazz, Nets. Like, these teams are going to do that regardless of what system you're in. So I just don't see that changing.
Yeah, I you never watched Breaking Bad, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. There's a scene towards the end of Breaking Bad when one of the characters is sitting there and he's talking to the main character of Breaking Bad, and he, you know, tells him, you know, we had it so good, right? And he's telling him, like, you know, we had the setup, you know, maybe it wasn't every penny that we could have possibly been making or that you could have possibly been making, but we had a setup, we had a system. There was a level of respect, and that level of respect kind of stabilized everything, and you had to fuck it up. You had, and I feel like all of the tanking teams are looking at the Utah Jazz right now. It's like, we had a decorum. We had a set of rules. We had, it was a system here, and we could have continued building that way. And now, because you had to give Yusuf Nurkic a nose job, now it screwed it up for all of us, you know. And I really think that, I don't think those teams would be wrong if that's how they look at the Jazz. I think what the Jazz did this year, Jazz fans hated the fact that they got fined. It's like, you got fined because you guys were ridiculous with it and got caught. Like, and you know, it was such a notable trend. It was such an obvious trend that it was like, oh, you guys got caught and really kind of sort of disrupted, like you said, a natural pathway to talent. So we'll see what comes of it. Okay. What's annoying is that, like, that natural pathway to talent is now being taken away after the Spurs and after the Thunder.
Yeah.
Justin Tindall finishes this thing off by noting that Harden has 86 field goals and 73 turnovers. So, Raj, it's not just the one game.
It's not, but I'm that's the volume he's going to have to eat. He hasn't been good, but I don't blame that loss on him. He hasn't been the James Harden of old, but I didn't really expect that at 36 years old. To do that this year.
Not with all the time he spent in strip clubs. Justin Tindall also says Thunder Spurs should be the finals. Cavs in the West would be a first round exit, not a conference finals. Would love to see a 1-16 playoff format. I agree. I've been begging for it for like all of my adult life, but they're like, you have just so many owners in the East who are content to like have their team play one round, get two games of home playoff revenue, and
call it 13 West team. make the conference finals.
Let alone if this was like a BCS kind of a thing where like teams could make arguments for themselves. You know, like if you're in the West and you're like, yeah, all right, we have 47 wins, they have 47 wins. But 36 of our wins came against the West, whereas like 36 of their wins came against like the drugs of the East or the dregs of the East. Like that, you know, in football, that's what they keep on running into. That's why they keep on expanding the football playoff. It's just that there's no easy way to do this. But I am pretty sick of like the NBA TV Orlando versus Atlanta first round.
Miami, right? They've kind of been the play-in special. I got dragged online for saying Kobe maybe could have got the 2009 MVP, right? And people are like, oh, LeBron was so much better. And like, LeBron deserved that MVP and all the advanced stats pull with that. My whole point was, you know, LeBron won 66 games. Lakers won 65 games that same season. And you look at the West, the 48-win team didn't make the playoffs that year.
Yeah.
You look on the other side, the East, they had like a 40-win team or maybe even a 39-win team be the eighth seed. It's like, these are totally different conferences playing totally different seasons. And, you know, I understand I understand LeBron deserved that MVP. I'm not saying he did it. My whole point was, hey, like, Kobe had an amazing season and he won the title that year and won it again the next year. Like, this was his, like, top of the world,
pretty good still.
Yeah, he was amazing. They're like, oh, but his you know, his numbers weren't there. I was like, that team could not do anything without him. But in any case, yeah, just that's to kind of make Justin's point of, hey, if this was like a 1-16 conference, you probably get all of the best 16 teams in, and the West just plays on completely different rules in the East right now.
Bashir says that LeBron had you and Anthony for teammates in 09. Well, but he was playing against like some players who were somehow worse than me and Raj in the East.
It was a nasty East. It was.
It's been the Eastern Conference for like dating back to the 90s, really. Like, in even before, like, you had the Bulls in the 90s. The East in the 80s was better, but still going on like 30, almost 40 years of basketball where the West has been like clearly better than the East.
So the season that LeBron won MVP, right? And again, I just want to make clear, he deserved the MVP that season. But here was the seeds, right? I mentioned that a 48-win team in the West, 46 wins from the Sun, did not make the playoffs that year. They were the 9th seed, and there was no play-in, obviously, at that time. The 4th seed in the East had 47 wins. The 8th seed had 39 wins that year. Like, it was just a completely different conference, and LeBron deserved every award he got that season. But I mean, the Orlando Magic won 59, the Celtics won 62 that year. Just like that, it's a totally different conference. But again, like if you change it to 1 through 16, to your point, the Heat, Sixers, Bulls, Pistons don't make the playoffs that year. So you have 12 Western teams and 4 East teams, which would piss off, to your point, a lot of owners.
And that's why it's not changing. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications both for the show and for YouTube. Please also, if you guys are listening in the show to the show in the morning via podcast, subscribe wherever you get those podcasts. And until the next time you guys hear from us, which will be tomorrow, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Sapalu. Have a great rest of your night. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys then. Oh, also, check out 97.1 The Fan, Odyssey's new LA sports station out there. Made my first appearance there. Looking like the shows that are in the Odyssey Lakers network that we've kind of built out, Jovan's show, my show, and Pete's show to some extent or another. We're going to be doing, you know, radio hits there and developing a relationship with that channel. So please check out the work that they're doing there. I will be on there on Friday next. So, have a good one, everybody.